you haven't received a bulletin already, go ahead and receive one if you'd like. Or you can go online and do the electronic version, PCB. We'll begin 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. And I'm going to minister to you, and particularly on this day, Mother's Day, on the faithful ministry of motherhood. And then today, by the Holy Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to recommission all the mothers back into this ministry. Praise God. And so in verse number 5, the scripture begins when it says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith," I'm reading out of New King James Version, "the genuine faith that was in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So mothers, ladies, receive this gift today of motherhood again and stir it up supernaturally. Amen. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." And so we want to emphasize that there is a model of motherhood. And we see this model portrayed in verse 5 of this text we just read. It says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith," everybody say genuine faith, "which first dwelt in you," that is in you, "which first dwelt in your grandmother's Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is also in you." See, this text gives us a powerful illustrated account of two mothers who possess genuine faith. In other words, these two notable mothers possessed a sincere faith and unfeigned faith. Genuine means sincere, unfeigned, or non-hypocritical. That means it wasn't phony, fake, or fleeting. And these two faithful and godly mothers talk the talk and they walk the walk. They practice what they preached and learned. So we must understand that faith, ladies and gentlemen, is not hereditary, it is learned. Everybody say it's learned. So Eunice learned it from Lois, and Lois imparted, everybody say impart, it unto her son Timothy. So we see this beautiful model of learning cascaded down through generation. So Eunice was not just a mother, she was a model. She understood her mission and in the ministry of motherhood was to transfer her belief in God's word, down through her generation. Amen. In Acts 16, 1 through 2, in the New King James Version, it says, "There came to Derbe and Lystra," talking about Timothy, "behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, and a son of a certain Jewish woman who believed." So she was Jewish, but she was also a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. So Eunice's faith, Timothy's mother, was well reported as a mother in that she raised a godly son. One of the greatest reports mothers can have is the character and the quality of the children that they raise by the grace and help of God. She was also a born-again believer. And we've often said, friends, if your faith doesn't is to work, it's to work at home. No amount of success can compensate. Business, career, external, can compensate for failure at home. So her genuine faith was not hypocritical. Act one way in public, live one way in private. Evidently, Eunice's faith was so effective that her son grew up to be one of the most notable men of the New Testament. He pastored the largest church and the most influential church in Asia Minor, the church at Ephesus, as a young man. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 31 and let's look at some more model components. Model components as the scriptures will portray to us. We'll start picking it up at verse 10, Proverbs 31, verse 10. And I'm going to read out of the King James Bible. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she has no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Amen. That's a powerful woman right there, just in those three verses. Amen. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh diligently with her hands. She is like the merchant ships and bringeth her food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens." Verse 16, "She considereth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard." Verse 17, "She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms." Verse 18, "She perceived her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands doth hold the distaff." Verse 20, "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet." Verse 22, "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple." Verse 23, "Her husband is known in the gates and when she sitteth among the elders of the land." Verse 24, "She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Verse 27, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." Verse 28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." Verse 29, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Verse 31, "Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Now, we sometimes think virtuous means somebody dressed in lace and carrying an umbrella and a hat and looking all dainty and stuff. But virtuous actually is a word that means strength. It means might. It means ability. It means efficiency. It means wealth. It means force. It means substance. Everybody say, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff. So we see the breakdown of this model. She was a mother because she said she had children. So this model of a mother in motherhood, in this ministry of motherhood, verse 10, she's priceless. Everybody say priceless. So you can put that in there. She's an immeasurable value. You can't put a price tag on a virtuous, faithful woman, mother of God. Amen. In the Lord. Verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. Her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. That means brother man is satisfied, and he's got his Big Mac at home and no fries on the side. I'll just keep it that way because we got kids in the room. Amen. Number 3, verse 12. She is very much husband and children oriented. Everybody say husband and children. Sometimes things get out of order and it becomes children, then husband. Oh, he's beyond the dog. But the husband should be first and the children should be second. That's the order of God. Everybody say that's the order of God. Amen. For marriage, and we're going to be talking about family, so we got to understand the priority order is marriage between two partners. They are number one, and then the children are right there next to them. Amen. Anytime you change the order, you mess up things. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 12:4 tells us that an excellent wife, in the New King James Bible, is a crown to her husband. Everybody say crown. A crown is a royal, a diadem, an ornament, or symbol of dignity. In other words, she makes the husband feel like a king. Everybody say glory. I should be getting some help from some men and ladies in here. Amen. Praise God. This is the word of God. This is not the word of God. All right. But he says, she who causes shame is like the rottenness to his bones. So a virtuous woman, a woman of God, a mother of God in the Lord, is an excellent wife to her husband. Praise God. Verse 13, she works. Everybody see, she works. Amen. So that she doesn't mind working. Amen. Not a bad word. Number 5, verse 14, she ensures her family is well fed, spiritually and physically and nutritionally. Praise God. Amen. Number 6, verse 15, she is not given to sleeping in. She's not lazy. No hint of laziness. She's willing to get her hands dirty. Amen. She's no prima donna. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. Come on, ladies, help me out. Some of you older ladies, this is the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm bringing you into women's ministry. Stepping across the boundaries here. Number 7, verse 16. She has the intelligence and good business sense. Number 8, verse 18, she keeps herself spiritually, mentally, and physically fit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. That means she keeps herself looking good. Number 9, verse 18, she engages in profitable ventures. Number 10, verse 19, she possesses domestic skills. These things can be learned. You say, well, I didn't learn that. I didn't get that. Well, no excuse. Amen. You can learn them. Amen. Number 11, verse 20, she shares blessings. In other words, she's not selfish or greedy or self-centered. Somebody, everybody lift their hand and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We've got a few more ladies, so we'll just tread through them, okay? Number 12, verse 21, she's busy at home. Number 13, verse 22, she dresses well. Praise God. Number 14, verse 25, she carries herself with dignity. Amen. Number 15, verse 26, she speaks wisdom and faithful instruction. Isn't that beautiful? It says she opens her mouth with wisdom. Amen. And in her law is the in her tongue is the law of what? Kindness. Praise God. Isn't that good? And so that's the model of motherhood, ladies. Come on. Amen. Amen. So that's not an unattainable situation. That's attainable by the grace and help of the Lord. Now, the ministry of motherhood we find in Titus. Y'all getting something out of this? Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 tells us, New King James Version again, the older women likewise, that they be reverent. Now, likewise what? Likewise, like the older men. So if you had to back up and see what the older men were told to be, they were likewise to be sound in faith, love, and patience. Amen. Everybody say faith, love, and patience. Now, those three things determine your spiritual health. Because some people lose their faith, or they don't use their faith. Either or, you lose it, right? If you don't use it, you lose it. So we are to live by faith. Everybody say, live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we said last Sunday, faith is the investment of your belief system's investment into the Word of God. It is believing, speaking, and acting upon the Word of God. So it's your belief system investment in the Word of God, not in other things, not in other people. Your investment is in the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but faith is an act. It is your belief in action. So it's your belief system's investment into the Word of God. I trust the Word more than what I trust what I see or feel. Amen? So he said, be sound. He said, likewise, be sound in faith. So you have to ask, how is my faith life? And he said, be solid. Sound means solid, firm, or strong. That's what sound means. But he says, be sound in love. Now, we're not talking about natural human love, because natural human love is selfish. It will turn to hate overnight. Natural human love is eros, that's sensual or romantic love, because sometimes you in love, I'm going to keep it clean, and you want to do love, but that's not love, that's not the love of God. That's not what he's talking about, because the Greek word here is agape. Amen? That's eros. And then there's phileo love, which is friendship love. That means you sound in friendships. You might have friendships on Facebook or wherever, at work or in your community. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about storge. Storge is domestic love or family love. And even though that can be strong at some point, it's not good enough. It won't work. So some people live in low-level love, and that is not good enough. It doesn't work. Amen. So he's telling us to be sound, to be strong, to be solid, to be firm in agape. That's the God kind of love. That's the love of God. That's in the spiritual class, not in the emotional class. Because sometimes mothers, come on now, talk to me. Sometimes your kid make you mad. Now, by you laughing, I can tell that I'm right on course. Amen. Sometimes your kids get you upset. They do things to get on your last nerve. But you need to respond with the love of God. You need to operate in love. They need to see the model of in the ministry of the love of God. Everybody say the love of God. And then, of course, patience. We talked about it last week, Wednesday. Patience. Everybody say patience. This is hupomone. This is the word that means cheerful endurance, steadfastness, constancy. Consistently constant, constantly consistent. Enduring trials, happy. Not going off, not slamming the cabinets, not going crazy, not cussing up a blue streak. Come on now. What did it say, Brother Thief? Drama. You're not drama. Amen. No drama. Amen. But you're deliberate, on purpose, focus. You're under control, because you show your children that I can go through stuff, but I don't even have to act like I'm going through stuff. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God, because I cheerfully endure. Hallelujah. And he said, all the women likewise. That's what the likewise was for. that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of what? Good things. So you're automatically in a teaching ministry. The ministry of motherhood is a teaching ministry by precept and by example. Somebody say glory to God. And verse 4, that they admonish the young women to do what? Love their husbands. Now, how many know you got to be taught that? Because sometimes that booger head ain't acting right. That's a good place to say amen, ladies. But you got to be taught to love your husbands and to love your children. Amen? And to be discreet, to be chaste, to be homemakers, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, and that the word of God be not what? Blasphemed. Praise God. We can get into a lot of exegesis on that, but we're not going to. The main point I want you to understand is that the main mission of the ministry of motherhood is to raise godly children, to be a role model, and to raise them by precept and example. And to teach, you must be taught. The ministry of motherhood is not just a mission, but a mandate. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 and verse 6 and 7 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." You get the word in you, and then out of that, you teach it and impart them unto your children. Impart, just the word metadidomy, which means to change. How can you change them? You have to teach them out of the reservoir of your spirit man, out of the word hidden in your heart. Amen. And you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, while you're sitting around, when you talk, by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Now, it sounds like me, that's all the time. That means teaching the word, teaching the commandments of God, teaching the principles of God should be ongoing and unceasing. Now, you teach other things, you teach other natural things, but the spiritual, it takes priority. Amen. Because you have to equip your children to make moral choices. And every other choice is subordinate to the moral choice. Amen. And morality doesn't come from Google. You can't do an internet search on morality. You can't watch CNN and get morality. Now, thank God for those venues of media, but that's where you don't get it. You don't get it from social media. You get morality from the Word of God. The standards come from the word of the living God. And so you impart that into them so that when they're away from you at school, they're away from you at the playground, they're away from you at somewhere, they can make moral choices. Because every other choice is subordinate to the moral choice. You teach them character. Christ-like character. When they offered you that cigarette or that joint or whatever, you can say no. When you're in a situation of temptation or lust, they can say, "No, I won't sin against God or my family or my future and throw away my future." Can y'all say hallelujah? See, this is a fundamental truth that we must understand that about child training. Child training, it's a commandment of God. Commandments are not to grieve you, but to groom you. God doesn't lay down principles and priorities and commandments not to grieve you, but to groom you, to make you what you ought to be. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go. He should go. and when he's old, he will not depart from it. See, the greatest inheritance you can leave behind for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren is a good, godly Christian upbringing, which is what? To love the Lord, love and honor and worship God, to trust in the Lord, to obey the Lord and obey his word, to serve God and serve the local church to pray and to be led by the Spirit of God in all matters of life and family, to be generous and live generously, and to find and fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life. See, it's our great responsibility to train children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, not someone or something else. Amen. Why is that? Proverbs 29:15 tells us, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. I'm not getting too many amens right now. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. Now, y'all know a statement, you know, it's not in the Bible, because it says, bear the rod, what? And the spoil, don't think the spoil just is rotten. You can ruin a child by sparing the rod. Y'all know what rottenness and ruin is? Come on now. He said rod and rebuke. That means to correct. Correction is good. Amen. It means discipline. So you would correct. Amen. This is good stuff. Amen. Amen. I can go many different ways, but I ain't gonna meddle. I'm gonna be good today. Y'all having good fun like I am? Amen. Praise God. Rod and rebuke give wisdom. Correction is good. What does correction yield? Correction yields protection, direction, and perfection. Huh? Because the Bible even says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, but he corrects. Proverbs say he corrects them. So if you love your child, be loving enough to correct them. Don't tell them that they don't have to pray. They don't have to go to church. They don't have to read their Bible. Come on now. They don't have to stay awake in church. They don't have to do anything. They can play video games anytime they want to. They can stay up all night, do whatever. They can watch whatever. Oh, my goodness. What does it say? But a child left to himself brings. Turn back to the other scripture, please. Proverbs 29:15. But a child left to himself brings his mother, brings shame to who? Proverbs 29:15. Amen. He brings himself shame, brings shame to his mother. Look what you're bringing up. Everybody said, thank God for helping us. Because this is what I want to say to you right here at this point. Because a lot of times we get distracted. Now, ladies and gentlemen, so this applies to everybody, but we're blessing the mothers today. But the biggest thing, two things the enemy wants to do to every single one of us is to dilute you or to pollute you. That's his deceptive double-barrel gun. He dilutes you by getting you distracted and busy with everything else instead of this ministry. And then he pollutes you through sin and disobedience and wrongdoing. Now, we know that's the dark side. Everybody said the dark side. But another dark side that we often don't look at is the diluting side, where it gets you so stretched out and busy, we forget this primary ministry. Amen? And so distractions are a big deal. One minister of God said, if you pay attention to a satanic distraction, it will become a satanic attraction. Distractions is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. I'll say it again. Distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. Many of us dream to have a heavenly home, have raised stalwart children, men and women who come and stand on your shoulders and go to the next level in the things of God, into the plan and purpose of God. None of us want the Lord to look at us and give us that look and say, "What did you do with your children?" Distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. The devil distracts you from what you should be doing to something that you shouldn't be doing. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. See, whatever you do in life, friends, in your home becomes history. Because sometimes in family reunion, people bring it back up 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years ago. You remember back when you were doing, see, that becomes history. But see, but whatever you set in motion becomes legacy. You want to set in motion good things. Leave a good and godly legacy for your children and grandchildren to draw from and follow after. When they say, they talk about mama, they say, "I saw mama pray. I saw mama pray in the spirit. I saw mama call on the power of God. I saw mama bring heaven down into our home. I saw mama believe God, stand on the word of God. I saw mama intercede for the child that got lost and probably ran off the reservation a little bit. I saw mama stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I saw mama pray, lay hands on the sick and see them recover." Somebody say glory to God. A minister's wife used to say, she said, you know, they didn't have children's church back then. This was a pastor, he's an African, and he said his wife and all three of her sons are now pastoring like their dad. Churches, large churches. And so she said, "But nobody even really gave me an unction, but the Holy Spirit led me to do this." In the ministry of motherhood, she would take the message and she said, "I would take his message and break it down into small little chunks and minister to the children at the house after church and throughout the week." And so she would put in that message and put in the word of God and teach it to your children. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. When they get up, when they sleeping, when they sitting around, when they eating, all day long, she's injecting the word of God. She's imparting the word of the living God into them. Somebody say glory to God. Proverbs 31:31 says this. He says, "The word of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." Who taught him? The wise man said once in practicing the art of parenthood, "An ounce of example is worth a ton of preaching." This is very true. The last thing I want to leave you with is this thought. Let's look at the life of Moses and his mother, his natural mother, mothering in hostile territory. Because moms, I know how tough it is. It's rough out there. All the onslaughts of the incursions of the enemy. And it's no different than what she had in her lifetime. And because see, this is a part of the faithful ministry of motherhood. Let's see Moses' example here, the example of his young baby days. It says in Exodus 1:15, I'm reading out a New Living Translation, so it'll be a little bit plainer to you. Through 22, Exodus 1:15 through 22. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives. Their names are there. I won't pronounce them. When you help the Hebrew woman as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If he's a girl, let him live. But because the midwives feared God, everybody say feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders, but allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly we can't even get there in time. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, they gave their families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all the people, throw every newborn Hebrew in the boy in the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Now this is where we transition into, and I'm not going to read it because of time. Jochebed had that dilemma. And she hid him, the Bible says, as long as she could. She feared God. But she said, I'm gonna put him in the hands of God. Put him in this basket. And y'all probably know the story behind that. And then Pharaoh's daughter gets a hold of the basket and says, I need a nurse. I need a woman who can nurse this child. And who she pick? Jochebed. Favor of God. Everybody say the favor of God. Because he took him and adopted him and said, this is my child. Let me get Jochebed to nurse him. And she nursed him. What was she probably doing while she was nursing the baby? Speaking the word. Because the Hebrews, it says he was a proper child. She saw the gift of God in him. She saw the call of God on him and spoke to that call and spoke to that gift of God in him. Amen? So what is the lesson to take away from this account? God placed her calling and ministry as a mother above her own life, as a mother ought to do with their own children today. Let us allow the Holy Spirit to give us some insights into Jochebed as the one of the best moms in the Bible, and one who has much to teach us about mothering in the 21st century. What did she do? We told you. She kept him secret. She had a difficult choice to make, to place her baby in a basket and hope for the best. And have you considered that Jochebed mothered in times that were hostile toward motherhood? In fact, she valued motherhood above her own safety, security, or reputation. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the climate in our current culture isn't ultra-mommy friendly. Can somebody say amen to that? True, no one is ordering our babies to be thrown in the Nile River. But in general, the culture does not seem to tout that motherhood is high and holy calling and worthy of use of a woman's time, talent, and ministry effort. See, that pendulum may swing back eventually, but in some sense, mothers and children have always been on hostile ground. Can somebody say amen to that? So Christian and godly mothers carry their children into hostile territory. Schools, social media, internet, entertainment, movies even. They're all anti-children and anti-mother. That's the world's culture. So our culture is simply afraid of death. Now, in this form, laying down your own life in any way is terrifying. Because the theme of everything is self-help. All about self. We even got the phrase selfie. And I know I'm stepping across some dangerous ground right now. I'm talking a lot of ladies on Facebook. And they talk about who? Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to. Let me not go there. See, mothering and the faithful ministry of mothering always comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. And choosing to mother in ways that are focused on God's standards in front of your family and valuing and pouring your life out for your children won't always be met with a standing ovation. Hallelujah. See, God is the creator and author and giver of life. But not surprisingly, however, at the sworn enemy of God, Satan hates life. He has always sought to destroy it. We see the beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve, spiritual death, talked them into death, separation from God, spiritual death. Then he convinced, got brothers, sibling rivalries, Cain and Abel. Got into one, Cain killed Abel. He was a murderer. Physical death. But Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's out of New Living Translation. So God, ladies and gentlemen, is using Jochebed to teach us a simple lesson. Motherhood and the faithful ministry of motherhood isn't always easy and isn't always applauded. But God has great plans for your family and your children, mothers, praise God, that begin with you making the choice to mother well. Everybody say mother well. Even when you face resistance. See, if you're a mom or a woman of God who pours into the lives of children, let me join in Jochebed and remind you of this one simple truth. What you're doing matters. Put your efforts, your time, your energy into the basket of the children of God has entrusted to you, and trust him with the results. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. You may stand with me. You may stand with me. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.